These days, more and more people are so attached to their cell phones, they've decided they don't really need a landline at home. The FCC tells us the number of landline customers in Michigan was around 7 million in 2000. By 2012, that number had shrunk to about 3 million. A controversial bill sponsored by Battle Creek Republican Senator Mike Knopfs has just passed the state Senate and is on to the House. It would allow phone companies to phase out traditional landline service starting in 2017, letting phone companies discontinue the service to homes as long as some type of newer phone service is offered, such as voice over internet protocol. So let's talk about this legislation as we welcome Matt Resch, who's Public Affairs Director for Michigan AT&T. Hi, Matt.
Hi there. How are you?
Good to have you with us. And we also welcome Melissa Seifert, who's the Associate State Director of the Michigan AARP. Welcome to the program, Melissa.
Thanks for having me.
I want to start with you, Matt. AT&T maintains this bill will not remove landlines from our homes or businesses. So what does it do?
Well, I appreciate you having us on because it's an opportunity, I think, to clarify some things that have been said. And I don't blame folks for not necessarily understanding or even caring as how their phones work behind the wall and, you know, in the ground and over the wires. But, this is not an issue about cutting off the wires that approach someone's home and handing people a cell phone. And I think a lot of people have read some reports and have thought that that's what this is really about. What this is really about is the little wire that comes into our house, that's been coming into our house for 100-plus years, is now able to carry emails, pictures, TV shows. All of that can come over that exact same wire. But what state law requires of companies like AT&T and other communications providers is that we use that wire to only offer a voice service. So you and I were talking before we came on, Cynthia, about the fact that you have your voice service through Comcast, mm-hmm. through a VoIP product, and then you said you have a landline. Under state law, you technically don't have a landline. You still have that copper wire that's coming into your house.
Okay.
But the product that is coming into your house is an internet product. And that is really what this transition is about. And what Senate Bill 636 does is it defers to the Federal Communications Commission to tell states like Michigan and across the country when we are able to fully make this transition for customers to receive their phone service over an internet product as opposed to the 100-plus-year-old infrastructure that has been around for generations.
Okay. So, Melissa, from the AARP point of view, what does this bill mean to you and what are your chief concerns?
Our chief concerns are reliability and accessibility. Matt made some very valid points, and, you know, he's been working for AT&T for quite some time and is really the technical guru on this stuff. I represent 1.4 million members, and I can tell you in a poll that we recently did for AARP members and non-members, 97% are opposed to this bill. They have mothers, they have fathers, they have grandparents, they might have disabled children, and their concern is the reliability of the services that Matt was speaking to. Not everybody has broadband in their backyard. Not everybody is able to have a wireless telephone. And if we do away with landlines, those are your options, a voice over internet protocol or a wireless service. The scary thing is that these may not be reliable services. Also, they are rather expensive. People typically have a landline. They may pay $20 right now for that. And if we move to this legislation that it's proposing, that is going to cost seniors and families a lot of money. I also want to point out that 2 years ago, a piece of legislation was passed through the legislature that would require the PSC, if anybody wanted to stop providing a landline service like AT&T or any other voice provider, wanted to stop providing that service, they could do that now. They can go through a review from the Public Service Commission, and as long as the Public Service Commission does this review and sees that there's two comparable services in the area, they're more than welcome to stop serving areas. We're concerned about this consumer protection that would do away with if this legislation is passed.
With having the Public Service Commission involved as a part of this equation.
In the current law that stands, the Public Service Commission is very much a part of it. They can go in and do a review. This new law, Senate Bill 636, if it is enacted, would do away with the control from the Public Service Commission and tie their hands. It would be up to the consumer to then file a complaint with the Public Service Commission, and it wouldn't be the other way around.
Okay, Matt, how do you address that?
Well, the main reason for the streamlining of the process and deferring to the Federal Communications Commission is that the federal law that the FCC uses to review this process requires input from state commissions, whether it be from Michigan, Illinois, Ohio, anywhere. State commissions play a very active role. And in fact, the Michigan Public Service Commission has already filed two briefings with the Federal Communications on this very issue. So they are very much involved already on at the federal level and in the federal review process of this issue. It really is, it's a streamlining of the process so that it can be facilitated so that this technology can be deployed even faster and even better. One thing that Melissa mentioned is the availability of broadband, and it was just recently released by the state, by the Public Service Commission, that 98.5% of all Michigan households have access to broadband. And really, that's all that's necessary to have a voice over internet service. If you have access to broadband at your house, and we know that 98.5% of all households in Michigan have access to a sufficient speed of broadband to carry someone's voice, they have access to these new services.
Then what about the 1.5% that don't?
First of all, in the time period that this transition is going to take place, you know, one thing to remember is the bill doesn't come into effect until 2017, and that doesn't even mean that the Federal Communications Commission will have completed their review or their work by that time. We could be looking 5, 6, 7, 8 years down the road before this transition is made. So certainly in that time, that 1.5% will have built out to their houses, or during that period of time, a wireless alternative will be blanketing the entire country at that point. That could be something that could be a comparable service for those customers.
When I just think of the history of communication, we've seen technology advancing, and have we not seen kind of these, if we want to call them growing pains, or this overlap of concerns when there's been a leap? I mean, once upon a time we had party lines, and then those went away. And is there usually this kind of friction, if you will, when there's a jump ahead?
Well, one thing to remember is that the friction, I would say that there hasn't been, because you can look over the course of the last 10 years, and you cited some numbers at the beginning, that consumers are already making this transition. And it's interesting to point out that a couple of the seniors who I know that the AARP has been working with, some of the newspapers in talking, profiling their stories, all three of the seniors who were interviewed for stories that have been published across the state of Michigan have already transitioned to a VoIP product.
If I may make a comment, and I apologize, I'm glad that you brought that up, and I wanted to make a comment about that as well, that we find that alarming that people are being switched over to a voice over internet protocol by their cable companies or other providers, and they're not being educated on the time of that switch. A lot of individuals, especially from AARP standpoint, rely on medical devices and medical alerts and alarm systems. And are they asking those questions at the time of that switch? And if people are automatically switching over to these products and they have this choice is the key point here, why do we need legislation then that's going to do away with landlines with 90 days notice to consumers?
Well, and I think to that point, it's a good one, is the exact reason why technicians who work for AT&T, when they go to a consumer's house and they make this installation of the product, they're instructed as part of their protocols to say, are you connected to a life alert service or a medical service or any kind of thing that would, you know, be impacted by this switch? And they're instructed not to leave the premises, not to leave that person's house until they are assured that the systems are working over the new product, and that the consumers know that the services that they had before are going to work with the service that the new product that they have.
Well, that's very comforting to know, but then I would argue, why are the individuals that responded to this study unaware that they are on a voice over internet protocol system? That is what's scary to us and alarming to us, because like I said, a lot of people do rely on these services, and people are now aging in place a lot more and are going to rely on a lot of aging in place services like a medical device or a medical alert system. So are you educating people at that time as well that, you know, if you stay in this system in this household, some of these devices may not be compatible with our service? Also, I would like to say that even with AT&T's UVerse system, you even having your legal disclosure that 911 may not work like it does with the landline. So there's a lot of concerns with security, with availability, with accessibility, and reliability.
Are there ways to address those concerns within the context of using the voice over internet protocol?
A couple of things. I think, first of all, just to say, you know, 911 is certainly not, that's an incredibly important and reliable service that is a part of the products that we offer our customers. But I would say that the second part of this is that, again, this is why the FCC is taking this into close consideration. The chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, as well as the chairman of AT&T, the CEO of AT&T, have talked about the fact that these questions need to be answered as a part of this transition. But at the same time, the technology that has run our phone system for 100 years is not working anymore, and we need to transition to a system that is a 21st century system as opposed to a 19th century system, and that by doing so and by doing so the right way, services will become more reliable and on top of that, better and offer more products and services to businesses and residents across the state.
Well, Matt, I am curious, as Melissa had pointed out, that the current law permits a provider to discontinue service. So already exists in Section 313 of current law. Why does it need to be changed?
Again, it's really a system of streamlining. There are now two steps in that process. One is currently going before the Michigan Public Service Commission. The second step is then going before the Federal Communications Commission. Because the Federal Communications Commission relies on the MPSC and states to weigh in on this, it's a streamlining of that process to facilitate that and allow it to happen more smoothly.
I would like to say that the streamlining also means that it takes away from consumer protections. You want somebody from the federal government to come in and analyze specifics about Michigan telecommunications, as opposed to having somebody here who specializes in Michigan and does this work on a daily basis and knows our state frontwards and backwards and is able to understand what a comparable, reliable service is.
Presumably that's exactly why the Michigan Public Service Commission has already become involved in the federal process. They want to make sure that in their role they are looking out for consumers, and why they've taken the time to file twice already with the Federal Communications Commission on this very issue, as the FCC has started this national process.
Is there room for some type of compromise between those who fear these changes, the seniors, for example, that Melissa talks about, and the supporters of Senate Bill 636? Is there a way to find a common ground? I guess I'll start with you on that, Melissa.
Yeah, you know, I will say that we really appreciate all the work that Senator Knopf has given to this legislation. I mean, it was introduced in October, and so we're very happy with the time that he's dedicated. You know, AARP's standpoint is that we're worried about public safety, universal access to all people. You know, even Matt said broadband's only at 98.5%. We can't switch people over to a new system unless everybody is ready for that switch. Competition is a big one. You know, you don't want a monopoly because people will start charging more for their services. And finally, and certainly not last, we're really wanting to ensure that consumer protection component.
Well, I think there is some ground, some area for some common ground, and I think our business is our customers. I mean, without them, we don't have a business, and so as we go forward, this is all about a delivering more and better products to our customers so that they can remain our customers, and so that is certainly our commitment going forward.
We have been talking with Matt Resch. He's the Public Affairs Director for AT&T Michigan, and Melissa Seifert, who's the Associate State Director of the Michigan AARP. I'm sure we will be talking with you both again. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.